Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Welcome to another exciting day, training day. Amen. Amen. This is just a blessing and an honor to be even allowed to do this. And, you know, if you talk to people, you really discover how blessed you are to know Jesus is and to know God is. It's amazing for people that work overtime and trying not to know God despite all the evidence, you know. I'm to the point that, like, if somebody wants some proof to God, I tell them, other than taking a .45 and shooting yourself in the head and dying, there's nothing I can offer you, because if you can't look at this world and see God, you are truly spiritually blind. But praise God, I don't think there's anybody that's listening in other than the CIA. And even, hallelujah. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. And pastor, my producer, and his lovely wife, Sheila, and the Runner for Christ Ministries. Amen. And Renaissance Christian Center, Calvary Christian Center, and all the different saints throughout the world over there, and Burkina Faso, Africa, and probably in the Middle East. Praise God. Amen. He's sending his word wherever he can, wherever they'll receive it. Amen. I just thank God for this opportunity to be able to present the word of God, and particularly to all my new, amen, followers. Amen. Up there at U of M. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you for the opportunity to even know you and to come to be selected into your family. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you have given us throughout the years. We thank you that we have the comfort of knowing that you are God that keeps your word. And Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're asking that you bless the eyes of our understanding to increase even more, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the great and exceeding power that you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, we're asking that you would strengthen us with might, especially those who are yet going through bereavement and those that are facing discouragement from the trials of this life. Give them the revelation that they need, amen, in their participation in order to have the victory that you have established through your Son. Father God, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work approved of by you, and bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have me to say. Let it be all of you and none of me, and this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I imagine at some point in time, because there's a lot of new people that I haven't ever explained, you know, that's one of the things about being Christian. Being in Jesus' name is not a philosophical phrase. It is not a cliche. It is the recognized authority. It is how God recognizes the authority of a person when they're praying. See, everybody can't use that name. Only those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have that authority. There's books on that. You really need to understand that. There are probably YouTube videos on that, because it's critical in this day and time. You know, I oftentimes, and a lot of times, and throughout the years, I've heard people praying, and then I learned that God, as much as he would like to hear everyone's prayer and answer everyone's prayer, legally he can't. It's the way the life is set up. That's not what I'm teaching on today. I'm still on rapture or retribution. Amen. That's what the Lord gave me, and I'm going to clear up some points I may have brought out last time, because, again, we got new people, we got old people. You know, the Bible is like one of my favorite restaurants is a steakhouse. I'm not going to get a name. They tell me don't do that unless they're paying for commercials, and I don't have commercials. But anyway, pretty much the same steak all the time. Occasionally I'll change up and get that big 22-ouncer. And I eat the whole thing. That guy, man, he does marvelous things with a steak. I can eat the whole thing without A1. But, you know, the Bible is repetitious in both the Old and the New Testament. You really, and but it, what the reasoning for that is because that's one, we learn by repetition, and we really don't have as much diversity in our thinking as we like to think. We just don't have as much singleness of mind in Christ as we need to have. You know, but understanding this, but like I say, God would love to answer prayer, but he only can legally answer prayer that comes through Jesus' name. And this, you know, you can pray in any other name you want, but, you know, you can't do the thing. And then there's the power of intercession. Amen. And that is being able to pray for somebody to get saved. Actually, each member of the body of Christ is a member of the royal priesthood. But let's move on into this. Now, last time I started, last week we had, I didn't get to make the video portion. That was a technical error on my part. But the radio portion will be on the website of millennialkingdomtraining.com. And I listened to it. And I'm telling you, when I listen to it, I hear God. I'll be amazed because a lot of the things that I hear wasn't what I was planning on saying, but it lines up. Now, again, the basis of all this is my portion, my mission that was given to me by God is to help people understand that by being human, you're not just a, quote, mere human. You're a God-class being, a spiritual being. You're covered up in flesh. You have a mind, will, and emotion, and that is called a soul. And that right there is the danger. Because once you leave this body, once you succumb, and once you leave this body, you become a total spirit being with no limitations. And that's the part that goes into judgment. And that's the part that God is concerned with. And what his goal is we're the beginning with first gen man. And his goal is expansion throughout the universe. Presently, the only one out in the universe are angels and the saints of God. There ain't nobody from another planet, you know, even though the devil going to try to play that off as a deception. And the reason he can't do that now is because of the Holy Spirit being in the earth. And he can't do it because of the Christians that have the Holy Spirit, which is all Christian, in the earth. Otherwise, he'd be clowning. You know, he can't do physical manifestation. He can't, without being inside of a person, he can't physically manifest in front of a Christian. That's how much authority that you have. You know, you could be a drunk on the street, an alcoholic, but he can't do anything. See, and there are excerpts in the Bible that play that out, that show that, the distinction of that. Okay. So, and the basis that when God started me on training day was based on 1 John 3. It says, "Dear friends, although it does not yet appear, when we see Jesus, we shall be as he is." And you got to look at Jesus throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but particularly after he was resurrected and what he was capable of doing. And I know most people don't understand how energies work, and they don't spend a lot of time, but I do. And it's really astounding because I had a professor years ago said that we handle energy and we've never seen it. You know, you can strip back some wire, strip the coating of a wire back, and look at the wire and plug it in the wall, you won't see the wire move. But if you grab it, you'll dance. I asked me how I know that. But anyway, and the same thing, right in front of you right now, our light signal's going at 186,000 miles per second. That's how people are able to get cell phone calls, networking with their TVs and all these other various things. See, there's energies and there's things that man is beginning to understand that makes him dangerous. You know, years ago when I was a little boy, they used to blow up nuclear bombs out in the deserts like they were firecrackers, not thinking that they were damaging the environment until somebody proved to them that they was damaging the environment in doing so. That's when they began to stop, so they allege. Then they went down in the earth and started exploding them down there until we started having earthquakes in places. So there's damage done to the earth that can't be fixed. I mean, it can be fixed, but God opted to make a brand new one, and that's in Revelation chapter 21. All right, so, and then, now, so the purpose of life is to learn the way of God. So, and again, this is all there is for us, really, because it's our first time here. And if we don't learn God's way, and there's only God and the devil's way. You don't get your own way. You don't have your way. You may think you do. If you don't, if you either agree with God or you agree with the devil, there's no third party. You can look at the mindset. The Bible distinguishes what is God and what is not. Amen. And that's what it is with people right now. They say there is no God. They don't need a God. Well, you know, they don't know who they are. They don't know what they are, and they don't know what's coming. All right. So last time we talked about the rapture, and that event will happen. You know, the fact that we talked about in Luke where Jesus said that it's not for you to know the times, it's only the Father knows the day and the hour, okay? And at the time, which was 2,000 years ago, that he said that they did not need to know. But he said, observe the fig leaves. They know that when they see the leaves, that they knew that summer was near. In other words, observe the season. In other words, in relationship to that, if there were certain events that were going to occur that would happen to let you know that we are in that era when the rapture would occur. Now, I'm not going to, well, I know today, not going into all the events, but I'm going to share some of them with you've witnessed. And they basically evolve around the fact that mankind gets to this point every 2,000 or so years. He gets to the place where he decides that he's as smart as God and he don't need God to guide him. But this is God's program. This is God's business. We're just at the beginning. And now I'm a convinced person that the reason why we're going to have 1,000 exact years on this planet is because we're going to go through yet a second training period, second level training period. Now, I'm open to suggestions scripturally, you know, even logically. You know, you can send me an email at 7trainingday@gmail.com, but the point of the matter is, is that if God does something that you know about, he does it with a specific intent. Now, you have to understand the process that going on here. The rapture occurs. We get changed into a person. We become a total spiritual being. In our case, we will take our bodies with it, but the blood will no longer be the function, the life-giving source of us. I mean, and the Christians that have died, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, will come with Jesus, call their cells, that have been, whether they've been buried or whatever's been done to them, and assimilate them and redress themselves. See, if you saw one of them now, as people have gone over to heaven and come back, they have the physical form that they had when they was on earth, but it did not have need of flesh as it does on earth. Now, you have to understand, it's your spirit that experiences everything, not your flesh. Your flesh is just an earth suit. That's what's required legally to be seen on earth. See, eventually we'll get to the part of the Antichrist and why Satan needs a body. You know, which I believe is why he promoted cloning, because he needs a body that's been uninhabited by a human. it's a difference. And the only way they can do that is to make one, because he can't get him. One of the areas, did I get all my points out? Okay, one of the areas, like I said, the rapture occur, that shows you the another area of the intellectual capability of a spiritual being. Now imagine now, my mother would come Her remains is presently now about 10 miles away from me, buried underground. She would come and in a millisecond, in the twinkling of an eye, call every cell she had while she was on Earth and reassemble them. Now, this is a person, she did not go to medical school. They don't even teach this in medical school. She was not an MIT grad, you know, in engineering, but yet she will have that capability. Why? Because if you look in Genesis 2:7, if you don't overthink it, you see just God putting his intelligence in that flesh, and it allowed Adam to bring it to life, to bring it to manifest it, to walk and move and be and eat and do all the things that we do in that, just that instant. See, it looks simple, but it's really a complex. Think about it, what you're doing with your body. That your body is just the same dirt transferred from Adam. Same dirt. Okay, think about that. See, these are the things that we have to really watch. But it's that spirit. The reason, as I've said in the past, God created that rim called a soulless rim that limits what Adam could do, limits what Richard can do. You know, I would not clown with that power, but I can see opportunities that tempt you. You know, people get on your nerve just like you see all these people shooting each other. They would do the same thing if they had full access to power. What we demonstrate on Earth is what we will do if God gave us full access to power. That's what he is looking at. Even with all the drama going on right now, you know, prayer is a great expression of that. Now, one of the things that I talked about was the fact that there were two men that had been raptured prior to coming about. One was raptured before the flood, and we're just going to read that right quick. That's in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and it's a man named Enoch. Now, and it says altogether, in verse 23, it says altogether, let me read that. Let me just read 21 through 24. And there's... When Enoch lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. And then the King James, it says God translated him. And I think that's key. In understanding the process of what God does and how God does it, you know, because you can't, don't want to, in some cases, oversimplify it, because you want the clarity of what really happened. Now, translated is, just like you, it makes, brings you into what you really are. And that's what happened to Enoch. And again, like I said, we remember man is a spirit. He has a mind, will, and emotion called the soul, and he lives in a body. And that is our makeup. That is why you can take and open. You're hearing my voice right now. My lips are moving, but in order for that to occur, I have to, from my spirit, send signals to my brain, which sends millions of signals to trillions of cells to do specific actions in order to cause my vocal cords to arrange in such a fashion to enunciate each and every sound that you hear in a millisecond. Think about that. See, we do stuff and we really don't think about what we're doing, but that is the likeness of God. There's the image of God, the image and likeness of God. There's the image of God, which we know well, but the likeness is where we really have to get in touch with that reality. Okay, of the fact that we are a God-class being, we're a spirit-class being, and that is what we are to learn to be submissive with. Okay, God constructed life, and the challenges that he allowed is to help us bring into submission our spirit to his word, and you know, and that is what life is about. And all the different challenges that you will face. face in life are based on those principles, you know, and how you deal, interact with people, you know. All those are based. So God has in his word his reaction to every situation you have. You know, even so far as people that eat too much and become overweight, he say put a knife to your throat. He don't literally mean for you to cut your throat, but he meant for you to take it that serious, okay, to not eat everything, you know, because that's detrimental to your health. Remember, Satan is always trying to kill you. And that's the other aspect. God lets Satan exist because God can't lie. God can't deceive. He can't trick. He can't do nothing evil. It's just not in his nature. But it's imperative that we understand the difference between God and the devil. There's God good and there's man good, which man good often follows Satan good. And they are not the same. And these are key because you're seeing things in the earth and you're going to see things in the earth. See, because they're pleasurable, people think they're good. Okay, last time we talked about the fact that in the book of Revelation in chapter 9, that one of the things that was going to be preeminent was going to be the use of narcotics. Why? Because they deranged the spirit. That's what they're designed to do. You know, they could be enjoyed, you know, possible, but people tend to overdo things, you know. This is why you will rarely, if ever, hear a pastor suggest people drink, maybe private counseling in the office with married couples, but not coming across the pulpit. There are some that do, because the Bible doesn't really, it condemns the behavior that results from excessive drinking, okay? But anyway, I'm not talking about that issue. That y'all got churches and pastors to talk about that. But the thing here, okay, we've seen Enoch, God took him right off the earth. He never died. He never saw the death. The death angel didn't come and escort him. And the death angel from, I've heard two versions of it, the guy with the hood and the sickle is the guy that takes you to hell. So if he show up in your last moments, because people see the angels. I've been with people that seen the angels when they died. You know, they was pointing them out, but you could tell by the expression on their face, they were happy to see him, you know, because the reason being is you don't know how to fly. And when you leave your body, you go airborne. So you need some help in getting where you got to go. There's a third, books on the third heaven, and you know, and you're traveling at a speed we don't even know nothing about. It's faster than light. Light's 186,000 miles per second. All right. Now, we want to look at this other guy that never died, and that's Enoch. And this show went away. all right. We want to go to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to read this all the way through to verse 11. And it says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha, his protege, were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at the Bethel came out to Elijah and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elijah replied. Now, note this day how revelation knowledge of this event is going to occur. You know, I mean, they didn't have internet back then. They didn't do all this whole crazy stuff that these cults do to try to get a revelation. God put it in their heart, okay? And that'll happen to you. John 16:13 says that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, okay? So a person in the body of Christ that is seeking God's will and seeking to be close to God is full aware of what time it is and will even know some events. And this is why I've said in the past that my brothers and sisters over there in Germany, had they been really tuning into God, he would have gave them a preparation. They would have either been able to gather together in prayer and turn that weather around. We have that level of authority. Or he would have gave them a B plan of how to move or place themselves in the house. Like in a lot of cases, if they had just moved their furniture up a floor it wouldn't have got damaged in the flood, and then they just would have had to clean up afterwards. But anyway, let's get back to this. So the prophets, the school of the prophets, students of the school of the prophets have told Elisha, you know, and then Elijah said to him, stay here, and the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. And the company of the prophets, that's another whole story right there. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied. But do not speak of it. See, now here you got another school. You got two different areas. You got Bethel, and then you're at Jericho, and you're getting the same message. But like I say, that's the thing about that I've noticed. The last time I said, when I start listening to certain men of God, and they all start talking about the end time, then I knew that we were at that point. It is time to tighten up. And the message that I have been hearing in more than one place has been get closer to God, tighten up the reins. I mean, God even, the Holy Spirit even put it into me, you know, a lot of times now, you can pray from any position that you want, but lately he's been telling me stand before the Lord whenever I pray. And, you know, even though it's I ain't going to say a simple prayer, because I regularly pray over situations that I see of crimes being committed. I ask God to send Holy Spirit and angels to help the police locate and resolve the crime, because he's a God of righteousness and justice, and therefore I ask him to send angels, because angels can communicate legally under the earth. If I give angels command to come into the earth, they can legally, physically, now angels can physically manifest, okay, and communicate with human beings. Okay, there's a lot involved. So when we give them authority, they can see. So they can come and talk to somebody that may have witnessed the crime and convince them. They don't even have to physically manifest. They can talk to them and give them the revelation of something they've seen and get them to provoke them to call the police and get that information. And with the Holy Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit within that you have. There's books on this, and the Holy Spirit up on. Okay, which is a booster shop of the power of God, and that help bring forth revelation. Now, when you do that, with the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for the saved police officers, even though some of them, doesn't matter their status or their relationship, that allows God to legally interact, and that's how a lot of crimes can get solved quicker. You know, I mean, it's really, we have access to authority we barely use because of very few pastors teach this to people, and very few people study on their own. It's sad. You know who you are. Man. But I'm telling you, there's lots. Everything about life, everything you think that is important now is going to get wiped away. Only what God thinks is important is going to survive. Okay. Now it says, and then Elijah said to him, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. For the sake of time, I'm going to jump down here to verse 11. verse 11. And that is because this is deep. But you really need to go back and read this and see God's interaction with mankind. Because wherever they went, they knew what was going to happen. See? So you should know where we are. And right now, listen, you don't have to fight and argue and plead and beg with your relatives. You know they didn't want to hear what you said last time. But you do need to pray for them. You need to write their name down in the list. And you can and pray for God to give them the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You're the only one with the authority to do that. Then God can work and give them the revelation that they need to come to Jesus. See, and then they'll come tell you they got saved. All right, but here in verse 11, let's look at this rapture event. And it says that they were walking along together talking. Suddenly a chariot of horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up into heaven in a whirlwind. See, and I see the thing is we're talking about supernatural event. And what it is, I find with people is they really, they work overtime at trying to deny the reality of what God is about. And he's far beyond this little peddly stuff we think is super on earth. Oh, yeah, we see a sports car that costs $2 million, and we think that's great. Well, see, he didn't even need a sports car. You know, we saw them launch missiles into space and take some people up into space, and big deal. Elijah rode up, didn't smell up the earth, didn't burn no fuels, and he was gone and without a problem. And now I want you to see something else here. Because, like, again, we got to get into the super of the natural. All right? Now, I want to go to Mark chapter 9. I want you to see something here real quick. Because, like I say, you got to realize we're talking something supreme supernatural. Okay? And he said, Jesus, in Mark 9:1, he said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come into power. People misinterpret that station, but that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, and he led them up into a mountain where they were alone, and there he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. All right. And mind you, these men, Elijah, as you just saw, rode up into heaven in a chariot of fire. And Moses died, but the angels of the Lord came and picked up his body and took it to him. That's in Jude only has one chapter, and that's the book just before Revelation. But yet here he is having a conversation with Jesus about his resurrection and his suffering. Now, note who he's counseling with. So my point in all this part so far is to get your mind into accepting the reality that is going to be in our near future. Near future. I told you I believe in the Apophis prophecy. I believe in the Wormwood prophecy. I believe because the Bible talks about it in Revelation chapter 8. That's when I found out about it in 1998. There was another incident that NASA tried to hide, but it got out because NASA is not the only one with a telescope. And, you know, what people don't realize is in America, when the leadership, almost every politician until recently would always claim they were a Christian, even though they didn't act like it. But the point is they would. So when you got those that are not Christian that have access to the same information, you say something, they're going to out you. And that's what happened. Somebody else put the truth out there to make them look bad, and that's what it is. And they still, I could only say, stuck on stupid with that stuff. All right. So now we talked about that. Now we want to look at a little bit more about, I think what it says as in Luke chapter 21, such as it was in the days of Noah, and some events that are going to go down, some in the very, very near future. Luke 21:25. It says, and there shall be signs in the earth, and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, for looking after those things coming upon the earth. Is that what I want? Nope. Oh, but that is part of it. I'm looking for something specific anyway. I saw this whole chapter, by the way, if you read My bad. Luke chapter 17. Let's go back. Talking about the days of Lot and Noah. Luke chapter 17, round verse. Actually, again, this is another whole chapter because the Pharisees had asked Jesus, when was the kingdom of God going to manifest? But see, what you had to understand, the kingdom of God, what Jesus told him, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. See, so you can tell by people's behavior now, particularly since Christ has died and rose again, that the kingdom of God is and that's all God has ever demanded a man, to teach about the kingdom of God. He never told anyone to start a religion. If they stuck to the plan, all the churches would just say, kingdom of God. Then the name Christian was given to some Jews by some Gentiles, and that you can read that in Acts chapter 11. And so basically all of us are Messianic Jews. And Jew only meant that you believed in the one God. And if you go back and study the cultures, and right now, Pastor O, Joe Overall, is doing a step-by-step teaching in those areas, doing that, and they're looking at all, they're going through all the different cultures of that era back then, because the name Jew did not appear until the book of Esther, which relates to a lot of history. The separation of Israel between the 10 and there were 12 tribes, and they got separated in 10 and 2. And so you really want to understand these details. That's why you can't just read the Bible once a year, you know, at Christmas time, or twice a year, Christmas and Easter. You really need to get into it every day, study it, because it is going to be the only future. And that's something else. Thank you, Holy Ghost. For the new saints, the Bible is the only book on the planet that speaks of the future and has a reputation of showing future events like the birth of Christ and never failed at it. And there's been people, they spent millions of dollars trying to find fault in the Bible in that area, particularly being able to predict the future. If you read Isaiah chapter 6, 7, 6 through 9 and 52 to 54, you'll see it talks about the birth of Christ, which was through virgin birth, the death of Christ, amen, and how, all the events leading up to that. And then I knew that when I got to chapter 60 through 66, that Israel, even though people had tried to predict the end in the past, what the major key that they missed was Israel. Israel did not regather to the late 1800s and early 1900s, and they did not become a nation until 1948. And that was a spectacular event. They beat armies that were 10 times their size. And the reason they cousins, ironically, can't take them out is because God made a promise to Abraham. But this is what I want you to see right here. Verse 26, and it says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. And likewise also, it was in the day of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, for the new people, what had been going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, which is how you got the name sodomy, and people called sodomites, which is what they used to call homosexuals until recently. You know, I don't know how they got gay. In our generation, gay meant you were a happy person. Now all of a sudden, it meant that you're homosexual. The rainbow, if you go back to, I believe, in the book of Genesis, I know I don't want to quote it and you miss it. But if you look up rainbow, the rainbow was an agreement God made with Noah after the flood to never flood the entire earth, okay, and kill all mankind. That's what the rainbow, so when you see a rainbow, that's what that rainbow really means. It had nothing to do with homo, gay, inclusion and all that. Now, don't get me wrong. Homosexuals are no worse than an adulterer or a fornicator or a liar or a thief or a drug addict. They are the same far as God. And regardless of what happened, God has delivered them. God has delivered them. Yeah, ministries. Now, I don't believe in this whatever type of therapy they have, trying to, you know, holler at people and make them change and brainwash them. No, you pray for them. You love them the same way you would do all the rest of your relatives that haven't received Jesus Christ. See, but the significant difference in them is that Satan uses that as an avenue to stop the creation or the birth of man. He has this delusion. He really thinks Jesus is going to come through a woman's womb. I saw that somewhere in a movie, but, you know, he's just dumb like that. This is something I want you to notice, too, because I'm 70, and I've seen a lot of changes, and I've seen laws that weren't legal, you know, like the abortion law, and like now, you know, they're trying to make the law so people can have sex with 10-year-olds, and that's retarded. You know, the Romans did that, by the way, and you saw, if you want to know how that's going to come out, study Rome, because that's exactly what's going to happen, because we're in the last days. But the other thing is, we recently have this situation where men can marry men and women can marry women, okay? Because I remember this person speaking, and the fact that is called that a Judeo-Christian law. And that is why you can't go into any U.S., and far as I know, any government office, city, county, state, federal, and get a marriage rule book. The Bible is the only marriage rule book on the planet. People have similar rules, but it all began with the Bible, okay? So now that they're allowing that, you got people marrying dogs, people marrying porn with them little dolls, you know, people marrying computers because they're in love with their porn. I mean, it has gotten off. So based on this, and you tell me what you think. Now, in verse 27, it said, they did eat, they drank, and married wives, okay? Now, note that it says plural. It's not talking about 10 men marrying 10 women. It is talking, I believe, one man marrying multiple women, okay? And they were given in marriage. It said they married wives and they were given in marriage. So you're in the marriage and you all yet getting wives. Now, there's two versions I've heard on that. They say they're given in marriages. They say they're marrying off their underage daughters. And, you know, there's some cultures that do that today, okay? Until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now I want you to go with me with Isaiah chapter 3. I'm going to try this in the NIV first. And I know I wrote that down, right? Nope. Okay. Well, anyway, Isaiah chapter 3. Okay. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 17. I did write it down. Praise the Lord. Because this is an event. Now, remember, Isaiah is called the eagle-eyed prophet. In other words, God, he was so blessed that God showed him the future events. Matter of fact, he's the one that wrote about Jesus Christ. He wrote about all. If you study the book of Isaiah, Isaiah saw things of all. He saw his period of time, the next period of time, all the way up to our period of time. So, if you spend time with God, he'll show you these things. I don't know if I want to read all this, but because the clock is ticking. It says in verse 16, the Lord says, now, understand Israel now is, they didn't got to this place where they didn't got prosperous and they didn't got crazy. And it's something about, this is why I tell people that we're going to see a great level of prosperity. And I've been hearing that a great wealth transfer for the last 20 years, okay? And I believe that. I even know the source of it. You know, I'm seeing the manifestation of it now with the president giving away money. I even know how this money is coming about, but I'm not talking about all that. But it is money. Okay? And that's what Satan used to weaken people. Just like you look at all the people that won Lotto, didn't have a plan. They say 96% of them wind up in bankruptcy. Because money has a force. And then when you don't have the restraint of the Holy Spirit in you, you're going to do what the devil tell you. Because he's going to tell you everything you think is good. He says, the Lord says, the women of Zion, now know he's identifying these are women of Israel that are supposed to be walking according to his word, okay? He said, the women of Zion are haughty, okay, walking that, haughty is they done got as smart as God. That's the simplest way to explain it. Walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, tripping along with mincing steps and ornaments and jingling on their ankles. Therefore, the Lord will bring sores upon the heads of the women of Zion, and the Lord will make their scalps bald. In that day, the Lord will snatch away their finery, their bangles, their headbands, their crescent necklaces, the earrings and bracelets and veils, the headdresses and ankle chains and sashes and perfume bottles and charms and signet rings and nose rings. You know, a nose ring, I read somewhere in a book that actually was the first marriage ring, because that way they say a man couldn't make a mistake that the woman was married. And the fine robes and the capes and cloaks and the purses and mirrors and the linen garments and tiaras and shawls. And instead of fragrance, there will be stench. Instead of a sash, rope. Instead of well-dressed hair, baldness. Instead of fine clothing, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. Your men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. The gates of Zion will lament and mourn, and destitute she will sit on the ground. And in verse 4, which is what I want to link to, which is what I believe is linked to what it said, Jesus said in Luke about marrying and giving in marriage, or marrying wives and giving in marriage. And if I'm wrong, you won't see this before the rapture. Now, it may happen after the rapture, but I know, you know, I expect to see this in the fact that they have, when they change these laws and let men marry men, they basically kick God to the curb. They say, God, you ain't got nothing to do with this. We through with you, and this is what we going to do, as long as they pay that fee for the marriage license. Because that's all you're doing with a marriage license. Seriously, when you have sex with a person, that's an act of marriage. Marriage license itself, which is only really a property document, is only 500 years old, okay? When you know, if you read the book of Leviticus, you'll see all this in clarity, okay? Especially if you read in a simpler verse. It says, in that day, seven women will take hold of one man and say, we will eat our own food and provide our own clothes. Only let us be called by your name. Take away our disgrace. Now, And that's what I expect to see next. And that is, now, there's debate on that. You know, two schools of thought is that when Paul said that every man have his own wife, that at that point you can only have one wife. And that's been the tradition historically. But if you go back and research the Old Testament, if you could afford a second wife, you could have one. And you look at King David and King Saul. Actually, King David, the king, the Bible actually put a restriction on kings. It said a king shall not multiply unto himself wives, and multiply would mean more than two. If he got three, he's beyond, and they both had, David had 10, Solomon had 700, and I can't for the life of me imagine, because when women live together, they all have their cycle together, and when they have, you can imagine 700 women PMSing. That's got to, no wonder he tried drugs. That's what he get. Anyway, all right, but see, so this is yet an event to come. And you can see this. I grew up during the era when they really did not let women out of the house to work. See, this has been a recent transition in the last 40 years. And there was, you look at the thing that they got now with the Taliban over there in the Middle East. They still basically owe somewhat Old Testament. They draft some things out of the Old Testament. And in that era, you could not work. So they think. They didn't read all the details. You could work. You know, God had women leaders. I mean, Jeb Deborah was one of my favorite characters. You know, anyway, she was a prophet. and a judge. She was a battle woman. She went to war. She was a war general, prophet, and a judge of Israel. And she had a husband too. She was married. But you know, that's another thing. That's what I tell women. You can't marry a wimp. And you gotta marry a man. See, there's somebody for everybody, but you have to see God to find out who that body is. But the point here is you're gonna see another change. And I expect that soon. Now, like I said, it may happen before the rapture, it may not. Okay? But it's gonna happen. Okay? Because the bottom line is that this I've seen the distinction of where God was. You didn't say nothing. I mean, people did not, they did not speak offensively of Christians. They did not speak offensively of being a God, particularly. And now, it's like, what make them so different? It's different now, but you're seeing a reaction to that. And even particularly, and I didn't get to that yet, but I'll probably get to that next week, when the children of God start acting that way. You know, you can't convince me that the God of all creation, who's omnipotent, that means he can do anything, can't put the fires out in California. But there's criteria for the rain, for you to be able to get the rain. If Elijah was able to stop the rain, we could make it rain. If Jesus... See, when Jesus spoke to the waters and during the midst of a sea storm on the sea and quieted them. See, we have access to that power, but we have to have the mind of Christ in order to access that power. That's the key. See, and that's what people, they want their mind, but they want to access the power. That's why people turn to witchcraft. They want power without righteousness, and God gives us righteousness. We just have to walk in it. But the point of the matter is any abnormal weather pattern, enough believer, even in, can change that. Because we have authority over the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. But if most people, and if obviously, see, you have to be able to believe at that level, too. You have to be able to believe at that level. And I'm telling you, that is going to become critical. You know, there's a pastor, a man of God named Andre Butler. He has a book saying, "Not in My House." And that's all based on word. You know, you have authority over that. This is what I'm talking about. And I want to remember, saints, don't send your kids to school without praying and commanding angels. Teach your children to command angels. Have your children say the prayer of salvation. Even though it's not totally necessary because they're covered by you because you covered by the blood, but it gives them authority. And God have done marvelous things. Kids, you don't have to shake them. They'll believe. They love believing God, you know. But do not. Don't miss a day. Because people, it's sad. I hear people, they say things like, I recently heard somebody say, why God let, no. Gee, he sent his son to die a brutal death to give us access to his power. He sent Holy Spirit to us to give us access, to teach us the access to the power, who is the power of God. Christ, the power of God, 1 Corinthians. But if you don't use it, you want to do your way, God is King of Kings, not the Burger King. You do not get that. It's about learning to do it his way. He know the best way. He know the right way. And his way is the best way. And as we draw closer to the end, you really want to draw closer to him, because we're drawing, because you don't want, listen, they're going to, the deceptions and the stuff that Satan get ready to cook up, ain't been shown yet. He's got, listen, the dude is, you got to see on a world scale. You know, and recently, you look at all these floods that's coming through, these hurricanes. You're like, that ain't too big for God. But let me tell you what ain't going to happen. You ain't going to live any old kind of way. You ain't going to hate people. You ain't going to say everything come out of your mouth. You ain't going to rob God. You don't want to pay tithes. You ain't going to rob God. You know, ain't nobody going to bless no thief. I mean, let's be real. You can argue what you want. But I tell you what, you want to see the weather change? You want to see it go around you? I mean, I've seen testimonies of people, and I myself, I told you, since we had that five-state blackout, and the Lord told me I ain't seen nothing. So I've been seeing something ever since. I had brownouts, but not blackouts. The one time I got a little 3 inches of water in my basement, I didn't say nothing. Now, I say something. I pray over the sewer. I pray over my backup drains. I command when the weatherman let us know that the weather going to be crazy, you know, I pray. You know, I hold God to his word, and he has done his word. I ain't going to say I regret not getting a free basement remodeling, but the fact is I didn't have to clean up no mess either. So we have this power, but there's a certain level of maturity that comes with this. It just don't happen. And you new saints, you just step on into it. Because one thing about success, what you did to get the success, you will be encouraged to do to keep the success. I'm telling you, you can do all things. See, that's not a cliche. I can do all things through who? Christ. Look at how bold that statement is. He didn't say, well, let me see, I could do this and I could do that. He didn't give a list. He said, I can do all things through Christ. But now through Christ. That means you got to do it his way. Okay, and the first thing you're going to have, in case you don't, for those that don't, is have a covenant, an agreement with God to access his power. And there's absolutely only one way to do that. And that is you must receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And it's such an easy process. This is going to take all about 10 seconds. And all you got to do is say this prayer. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son and that you sent him to die for our sins. And I believe that. And I now ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And Lord God, I believe that I'm saved right now, and I thank you, Jesus, for your blood, and I thank you for receiving the Holy Spirit, and I now believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that I am saved, and that the Lord is my God, and Jesus is my Savior. And those of you that may have backslidden, and this is your first time hearing it, even if it's after the rapture, to say, Lord God, forgive me for my sin, based on your word in 1 John 1:9, and I believe I receive my forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now, it can't get no easier than that. Now the rest is learning this process of life. Read the Bible. Don't say you don't understand. Never read it without praying. Never read a book about the Bible. Never read somebody's writing, whatever book. Pastor O has some great books on his website, rfcm.org. And you really want his ascension to Jesus. His last book. Well, I don't know if it's the last book, latest book, but you really want to read that and pray before you read it. And God will show you it in depth. Believe me, you can read the newspaper and God will show you some stuff that really will help you and bless you. Same thing with TV. I'm telling you, God will use whatever's available. And just remember this, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Joyful.
Today.
Today.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Joyful.
Ooh.
I'm gonna be trouble.
I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Today.